Let's open our Bibles up to the book of Matthew, chapter 5. Brother Harold, are you going to preach a Mother's Day message? Preach one every Sunday. It applies to all mothers. I go above and beyond a Mother's Day message. Mine applies to all fathers. I go beyond a holiday message. Mine applies to all children. Did I get everybody? Were you a child once? Are you an adult now? Mother, father? I do want to wish all the mothers a happy birthday. You ought to be thankful for your mother. What did I say? I was thinking of Hannah's birthday. I want to wish you all a happy Mother's Day. And everyone here had a mother, or regardless of how good of a job your mother did, you ought to be thankful for her. Without her, you wouldn't be. Let's look at this text this morning. We're going to begin in verse 33 and go through verse 37. And we have been talking about matters of the heart. Jesus is preaching the Sermon on the Mount. And He has now began to deal with matters of the heart in keeping with the law of God. We looked at the heart of a murderer. We saw that you didn't actually have to kill someone to be guilty of murder. We looked at the heart of an adulterer. Didn't exactly have to have an affair to commit adultery in the heart. And now we're going to look at the heart of a liar. The heart of a liar. And it's not that you don't have to tell a lie to be a liar. I want you to realize the heart of a liar is not to lie. The heart of a liar is to get you to believe a lie. And so, this is what we're going to deal with in verses 33 through 37. Here in Matthew 5, we're going to focus on the heart of a liar. People who always strive to be believed. However, if you are consistently honest, you'll have no trouble getting people to believe you. So let's read these passages. I have four thoughts, and we'll go eat fried chicken, all right? I've been instructed by the women that I have to preach to at least 11:30. Usually it's the other way around. We'll see what we can do. Beginning in verse 33. Again, ye have heard it that it hath been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by earth, for it is His footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou cannot make one hair white or black. But let your communication be, yea, yea, nay, nay, for whosoever is more than these cometh of evil. Now, we're going to talk about a rather controversial subject when we talk about the heart of a liar. Because we're going to deal with swearing and taking an oath. I remember as a child, we swore a lot. Well, I didn't cuss, but it was real prominent in the day that I grew up to swear on your mother's grave. Swear on my mother's grave. My mother wasn't dead yet. What exactly was I swearing on? Her future grave? My mother's still alive. I'm going to go see her after church. What exactly was I swearing on? Did you ever say, cross my heart and hope to die? Some of you are nodding your head. The rest of you don't remember. You probably did. It's rather commonplace to take these oaths, to take these vows, to make promises and swear. And so when we look at a text like this, you say, Brother Harold, if we did that, were we lying? No, you weren't necessarily lying. You could have been telling the truth. Your mother's grave may never be desecrated because you did tell the truth. But 99% of the time, people who do that often are doing it because they lie often. I jokingly say a lot, now I'm not preaching right here, I'm telling you the truth this time. As if the rest of the time I was preaching was not the truth. Sometimes I joke around and say that. But people who are constantly swearing and taking pledges and vows with no other reason other than just to convince you, oftentimes are compulsive liars. And if you find yourself constantly having to swear to get people to believe you, you need to examine your speech and see if it's guilty of lies. To be quite honest with you, we all are guilty of lies. We just classify our lies. Do we not? I wouldn't lie under oath, but I'd tell a white lie to keep my wife from getting mad. I would tell a white lie to the kids to keep them excited about what we're doing. Santa Claus is watching you. Is he really? Some of you ain't even ready to affirm the truth yet. You're okay with lies as long as they meet the category of lies that you're acceptable with. This is an acceptable lie. This is an acceptable excuse. This is an acceptable position to take. I don't want them to know the truth, so I'm going to tell them something similar to the truth. Got any fishermen in here? Got a fish that big? We're okay with exaggerating on a fish story because that don't matter. When we look at this text, Jesus deals with the heart of a liar. And it's going to take some understanding of the times in which Jesus was speaking, but by the time we get done, I want you to understand the heart of a liar is not someone who wants to go around lying, it's someone who wants to make his lies believable. So let's look, first of all, at verse 33. I want to give you the common understanding. Christ has been using this phrase a lot. And he continues to use it throughout the remainder of chapter 5. Ye have heard that it has been said. He uses something along those lines over and over and over in this chapter. And what he's addressing is the common understanding, the common teaching by the rabbis of that day. Look at verse 33 with me. Again, ye have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, that thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. You've heard that it's been said. Jesus is saying, here's what the teachers of the law taught. Here's the common application for the text. It says, by them of old time. The rabbis, the teachers of the law in Israel, spent their time studying the Old Testament and then reading the old commentators on the Old Testament. And here's what happens over time when we study God's law. We desire to weaken it so that we don't look so bad. God's law was given to us so that we look bad. God's law was given to us so that we see ourselves as guilty. God's law was given to show us we need a Savior. But over time, mankind will always try to soften the laws and make them more palatable to Him. He'll try to change them. He'll try to modify them. He'll try to weaken them. Now, it's no secret, if you know me very well, you know that I own a lot of guns. I like to shoot guns. I like to hunt. There are people who are trying to weaken the Constitution. They're trying to say that the Second Amendment, the right to keep and bear arms, only applies to muzzleloaders because that's the kind of weapons they had during the Revolution. So all of you are entitled to a muzzleloader. You know what a muzzleloader, Pilgrim style. Pour the powder down there, load the bullet down in there, cock the hammer. Now you can break in, criminals. I'm fully loaded. By the time you get that loaded, your wife and children have been abducted and are in another country. But people want to change that because they don't like you and I having the ability to own a modern firearm. They want to change those laws. Man always wants to change laws. We want to tweak them. And that's what had happened here. What these people were saying was not necessarily wrong and not necessarily bad. They left out the forcefulness of it. Here's what they said of old. Don't forswear. That's a word we don't use very often, is it? Don't promise and not keep. A forswear is to commit perjury, to say something untrue, to take a vow and not tell the truth. That's what it means. Don't commit perjury. Don't forswear thyself, but thou shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. In other words, if you swore to God, you need to keep God's oath. That's essentially what they're saying. The Old Testament gives us instruction on keeping oaths that we take. Let me give you a couple verses real quick from the Old Testament. Just for background, you don't need to turn there and follow along with me. I just want to give you a couple things real quick from the Old Testament. In Leviticus chapter 19, verse 12, it says this, Ye shall not swear by my name falsely. Take an oath under my name, and it's false. Neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. When you take the Lord's name and swear by it, and you lie, you are profaning the name of the Lord. You're breaking the name of the Lord. You're blaspheming against the name of the Lord. It is no different. When we look at Deuteronomy chapter 23 and verse 21, that's 22. No wonder that's completely and totally different. Verse 21, he says, "And when thou shalt vow a vow unto the Lord thy God, thou shalt not slack to pay it. For the Lord thy God shall surely require it of thee, and it would be a sin in thee. But if thou shalt forbear a vow, it shall be no sin in thee. For that which is gone out of thy lips thou shalt keep and perform, even the freewill offering, according as thou hast vowed unto the Lord thy God, which hath promised it with thy mouth." If you promise God you're going to do something, God's going to hold you accountable to do it. The Old Testament tells us, do not swear unless you're going to do it. The Old Testament does not forbid swearing. It does not forbid you taking a vow, as some people have advocated, but rather the Old Testament tells us that when we take a vow, we should keep the vow. You say, well, Brother Harold, we ought to be smart and just not take a vow, right? Right. Right. But there are going to be times when you need to take a vow. There are going to be times when you need to make a promise. Well, when is that? When you go to court? The Amish, the Mennonites, I don't know if the Amish can even go to court. Mennonites can go to court, but they will not swear when they get to court. You promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. I got that off Perry Mason. I think that's how it goes. So help you God. They put their hand on the Bible. We don't do that. The Bible says don't swear. The Bible doesn't tell us that oaths are not necessary and vows are not necessary. The Bible tells us that when we take a vow, we tell the truth. Now listen, you can take a vow, but you must tell the truth. That's pretty simple. If you know the truth, tell the truth. If you don't know, you say, I don't know. How hard is it to swear on the Bible and tell the truth? It's harder than you think. You know why? A lot of people do it and they're okay with it because they've justified lying, even if they're lying under oath and committing perjury, which is what Jesus said here was forswearing. Now some people take the stance like the Mennonites, you shouldn't swear at all. Swearing of any kind or taking an oath of any kind is wrong. And if you say that and you believe that, there's some good people that believe that from times past. Charles Spurgeon would say, never swear, not even in court. However, I disagree with Dr. Spurgeon. I disagree with Dr. Spurgeon on this basis. All swearing is not forbidden. All oath-taking is not forbidden. And here's how I know that to be a fact. God swore an oath. Remember? Turn in your Bible to Genesis chapter 22. Some of you are looking at me wide-eyed like you don't believe me. I didn't think you'd have any trouble with Deuteronomy and Leviticus, but when we come to God swearing, people were like, taking their head, no, God wouldn't do that. But yes, God did that, and He swore upon Himself in the Old Testament, and the writer of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 6, affirmed that God did swear by His own name, because there was no other name higher than God's name. If you're in Genesis chapter 22, read with me verse 16. "And said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, in that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and the seed shall possess the gate of his enemy. In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." There's God's oath, promise, and pledge. Well, God did all that. Exactly. And God could promise to do future things because God's in control of the future. Well, just because God swore doesn't mean that we can swear. We can swear. We can take an oath. We're not forbidden from taking an oath. God did it, but God did it on the future. You and I can do it on the truth, but it must be the truth and we must tell the truth. You realize that Paul swore by God several times in Scripture? Let me give you a couple examples of the Apostle Paul taking an oath and using the Lord to demonstrate that he is telling the truth. If you look in your Bible in Romans chapter 1 verse 9, "For God is my witness." Now folks, I would venture to say, if taking an oath with God as your witness was wrong, Paul shouldn't have said it. And not only should Paul not have said it, the Holy Spirit shouldn't, under divine inspiration, record it for you. Well, brother, I looked that verse up and I studied it out a little bit. And people said, well, Paul's not swearing. It's really a Hebrew idiom of saying, yeah, and I kind of lost. I didn't understand what they were talking about. And I said, but that's not the only place that Paul swore. That's not the only place that Paul asked God to be his witness. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23, Paul says, "Moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul, that to spare you I came not yet as unto Corinth." Paul said, I call God to verify what I'm saying is true. We'll go to one more. Some of you are still got that glazed over look in your eye. I think chicken causes that. Y'all smelt it when you came in. In Galatians chapter 1 verse 20, Paul says, "Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not." You want us to go to 1 Thessalonians and look at another, or are these three sufficient? Paul's swearing. And Paul is swearing after Jesus said, don't swear. But Paul is doing what the Bible allows to be done. The common understanding that the Jews were saying was this: if you swear, keep your oath, because God is going to deal with you if you don't. You make a promise to God, you better keep the promise. Now here's my advice to you. Don't make any promises to God, because you can't keep promises to God. But if something's true, there's nothing wrong with you saying, God will verify this is true. And if it's not true, you are in the most dangerous position you could possibly be in, because you've invoked the name of God to back your credibility. If you've lied about God, you've done wrong on what we said in Deuteronomy. You've done wrong against what we read in Leviticus chapter 19. All of those things would now apply to you as being a transgressor of the law. So what's wrong with a common understanding? What's wrong with what the rabbis and the Pharisees were teaching in verse 33? They said, do not forswear thyself. Do not take an oath to God and then break it. The problem with that is they had a whole level of swears that you could take. Cross my heart and hope to die. God is my witness. So help me God, I'm telling the truth. It's the truth if I ever told it. How about that one? That's the truth if I ever told it. When someone says that, I have to wonder, have you ever told it? When did you not tell it? Let's look at the next three verses, 34, 35, and 36, and we see the common understanding. Here's the common usage. Notice that Jesus mentions some oaths that these people were taking. Verse 34, "But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, neither by earth, for it is His footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King, neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black." Jesus says, neither swear at all. The Jews, in the common understanding, were saying this: if you promise to do something, do it. And if you promise to use God's name, you better perform your oath. What they were doing was swearing, but they weren't swearing by God's name. So the common usage, that's our second thought, the common usage was this: I won't swear by God, I'll swear by my mother's grave. I'll swear by something else. I'll swear by something under the level of God. Therefore, if it's not really true, God won't come after me. As long as I don't use God's name, God's not attached, and I can swear. And they even had laws, not like laws from the Bible, but like rules. You swear by the temple and don't do it, it's okay. But if you swear by the gold of the temple, now God might kill you. You can swear by the altar in the temple, but if you swear by the sacrifice on the altar, now God might kill you. Well, of what value is someone, I swear by the altar? There's no weight with that. That's why Jesus in verse 34 says, swear not at all. He's saying, if you're going to swear, don't even bother if you're swearing by something that has no real meaning. I swear by the old apple tree in Grandma's backyard. It's true. Who cares about the old apple tree in Grandma's backyard? But Jesus takes the common usage here. Look at what He says. He uses it. Swear not by heaven. Why? Because that's God's throne. I swear by heaven. Doesn't matter. You have no bearing over heaven. Look at verse 35. Nor by the earth. I swear by Mother Earth. Whatever. However you want to word that. The Jews had like a bunch of these. 20 or 30 of these swears that you could take. Some binding, some not. Don't swear by earth. He says neither by Jerusalem. Now Jerusalem was a holy city to them. Jerusalem was important. If you swore by Jerusalem, that was a big deal. He swore by Jerusalem. You look at verse 36, he says, neither shall thou swear by thy head, because you can't make one hair black or white. Now, obviously, that doesn't apply today. You can make it appear black, but it'll grow out white. You can make it appear whatever color you want to appear, but you're going to have to keep going back and paying for those fill-ins to touch those roots up. Right, ladies? My hair color, all natural. Right over you. All right. The common usage here was they swore about all different sorts of things. To keep from swearing under oath to God. But when we talk about that common usage, we need to understand, thirdly, the conclusions of that usage. When you swear by anything, you're swearing under God. Let's go back and look at verse 34 again. Why can't I swear by heaven? It's God's throne. See why you can't swear by heaven? God's over heaven. When you say, I swear by heaven because you don't want to swear by God because you're really lying, when you swear by heaven, you're swearing by the throne of God where God sits. The conclusion, what you put out by your swearing is indeed valid before God. Anytime you swear, whatever you swear by, you're swearing by God. I swore by my mother's grave. Who holds the keys of life and death? Who has the keys to death, hell, and the grave? You swore by God whether you knew it or not. Well, Brother Harold, I don't like that. Well, let's look at verse 35. Let's see if you like it better. Don't swear by earth. Well, why not? That's God's footstool. Now, if you can't swear by heaven because that's where God's throne is, God says you can't even swear by earth because that's where He props His feet up at. And if you swear by anything on the earth, you're swearing by something that's under the control of God, and therefore you might as well say, I swear to God. Oh, I don't want to swear to God. This story ain't exactly true. If you swear by anything, you're swearing by a creation of God that's under God's control and therefore are swearing to God. He goes on, neither by Jerusalem. That is the city of the great king. Didn't see a great king. Notice the little word, the great king. That's God's city that God created for God's king. For God's people. And when you swear by the city, you might as well just cut to the chase and say, I swear by God. Oh, I don't swear by God. No, that's dangerous. It's dangerous for you to swear by anything. City, earth, heaven, anything. But he goes a step further. Verse 36, do not swear by your own head. Why? Because you cannot make one hair white or one hair black. You have no control over who you are. You can't. I give you my word. I swear on my good name. What good name? You've already justified a white lie today and you nodded your head that it was all right and you've done it. What good name? Well, I swear by my integrity. What integrity? You're a lying, cheating, murderous adulterer of heart. What integrity? Your outward exhibition of trying to be a good person? Or who you are on the inside when no one's looking? You can't swear by yourself. You're not in control of yourself. You don't have control over what happens to you, nor your ability to perform it. What Jesus is saying is the conclusion of your usage. Anytime you swear by something, you are essentially swearing under oath to God, regardless of what you use. I got a question for you. Have any of you ever swore before? I don't mean cuss like a sailor. I mean took an oath. I swear at fish is that big. Swear on my bass boat, that fish was that big. Everything you swear by is under the control and performance of God. So when you swear that something is this big, and it ain't, you know what you've done according to Jesus' standard that goes beyond the standard of the Pharisees and the scribes? You've lied and attached God's name to it. Well, I didn't swear to God, I swore to a mother's grave. I swore to the truth if I ever told it. You swore to God. Anytime you attach a swear to anything, Jesus says it's going back to God. Now, why would he say that? Why do kids teach that? Why do kids go around saying, I swear to this and I swear to that? I'm going to say something and then I'll move. Kids are born sinful just like all of us are. They naturally sin. They naturally do wrong. You have to teach them how to do right. You don't have to teach them how to do wrong. You want to know what kids do wrong? That's what they do. You want to know why kids swear on stuff? Because they lie. You want to know why they have to swear? Because their friends know they lie. Because their friends lie too. And the only way anybody's believed when you're a kid is to say, I swear. And guess what? You were a kid once and you swore when you were a kid. And you lied when you were a kid, and other kids lied to you, and that's why you swore. Now, here's the bad news. Well, preacher, everybody does that. I know, but if you did that, guess what? You attached God's name to something untrue. You've included God in your lie. Well, I was just a kid. That verse comes to my mind that you'll give an account for every word that comes out of your mouth. After you turn 16, that's the part that got left out in Scripture, lost for years. After you turn 25 and knew better. After you raise kids and learn not to lie anymore. After your own kids lied to you. No, none of that's in there. Every word that comes out of your mouth is important to God. And Jesus said it doesn't matter who you're swearing to. It's all His. And to a culture where they swore by everything under the sun, had laws about swearing. Laws that you could promise it was the true and God not hold you guilty. God said, if you lied, you're guilty. What's the heart of a liar want? I want to be able to lie and get away with it. We even have clever little sayings like this. An ounce of prevention's worth a pound of cure. 90% of the time that's used to justify a lie rather than deal with the truth. Oh, that's a wise saying. Yeah, it'll lead you to sinning against God. It'll lead you to lying. That brings us to our last thought. Communication unassisted. Communication unassisted. When we look at verse 37, Jesus sums it all up. He sums it all up here. He says in verse 37, let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. Jesus is saying in your communication, in your conversation, while you talk, all you need to say is yes and no. Yea, yea. That's the way it's written. That's a literal interpretation. What it means, let your yes be yes and your no be no. And yes, if I told you it was so, that ought to be good enough. I shouldn't have to swear because I already said so. Now, why is that so important? Because we live amongst a bunch of liars. We live amongst a bunch of liars who don't believe us. I'm telling you, you can go out and do something miraculous, and you can come back and go, you're not going to believe this. Right? You're not going to believe it. Why would we start off by telling something true and start off by saying you're not going to believe this? Because nobody believes other people. You know why? Everybody lies. Yay, yay, nay, nay. Yes, yes, no, no. If I said it was true, it's true. I shouldn't have to swear. I shouldn't have to promise. Have you ever met someone who was constantly having to swear, constantly having to promise? Have you ever met people? I mean, we see that a lot with children. But there are adults that, I swear to God, man, I swear to God, it's true. I swear to God. Do you realize the trouble they're going to be in when they get before God and they've said that? Honest to God. Honest to God. Honest to God. Swear to God. Swear to God. Swear to God. When someone is constantly doing that over and over and over again, they are evoking the wrath of God because they have attached God's name and God's character to a lie. You've lied and said, God will tell you I'm telling the truth, and you lied about it. We don't think anything about it. That's all right. But they kept swearing. Oh, everybody swears like that. No, everybody shouldn't. What Jesus is stating here in verse 37 is that this should not be your common way of talking. This shouldn't be the way that you regularly converse. When he says you should not swear at all, he means you shouldn't swear by any of these other things. Well, I'm not going to swear to God because I don't believe the Bible's against that. And I don't swear on the Bible because I believe the Bible's against that. But I'll swear on this over here. You might as well just go ahead and swear to God. And if you can't swear to God about it, maybe you shouldn't say it. Well, Brother Harold, we should never swear to God. We shouldn't do any of that. That's what it means. No. God swore by His own name. Deuteronomy says, when you take an oath, keep it. Leviticus says, when you swear, do what you promised to do. The writer of Hebrews chapter 6 says, God swore and He kept His word and He performed His promises. Paul, when wanting to testify to the Romans that he was sincerely desired to share the gospel, he said, God is my witness. Romans 1:9. 2 Corinthians 1:23, he said, God is my witness. God will bear this out. Folks, when should you ever take an oath with God's name? Not in casual conversation. Not to get somebody to believe you caught 20 sand bass when you really caught 19. You laugh. But I guarantee you, if you can remember, you've exaggerated stories and promised and swore, and you may have forgotten about it, but your father has not. Because when you swore, you included him. You should swear when it is necessary to settle a dispute. Necessary, and that's not a dispute on who caught the most fish. That's not a dispute on where your property line is. That's a legal dispute in a court of law. That is a legal vow that you take with someone else. You swore, I'll venture to say, most of you swore when you got married. With this ring, I thee wed. That was your vow to the other person, that you were going to be a faithful spouse. If you don't think we should swear, then I don't know how in the world you're going to get married. What kind of commitment are you going to make to your spouse before you and God? You don't believe in swearing. Well, I was just using the ring as a vow. Where'd you get that gold at? Where'd you get that gold at? Did you grow that in your backyard? I know, preacher, somebody went up in the mountains and picked that out of the ground. Oh, God created the gold that made the ring that you put on her finger that you swore by. Yes, every vow you take is a vow before God. I don't care if you swore on a wedding ring or you swore on a stack of Bibles a mile high. It is a vow that you took before God, and God's going to hold you accountable for it. On the subject of marriage, if you look in the verses immediately prior, that's what he's talking about. Adultery, marriage, divorce. Then he goes right into keeping your vow, keeping your oath, keeping the promises that you've made. Now listen, when you testify, you ought to be realizing that what's coming out of your mouth either be the gospel truth. You better shut your mouth. The gospel truth. There's never been a truer statement when you swear that it be the gospel truth. Notice the phrase this at the end of verse 37. But whatsoever is more than these cometh evil. You're swearing by a number of different things and you're not willing to swear on God's name. It's of the devil. That's literally what it means. Cometh of evil. That means from the evil one. When you swear by something under God's name, it means the devil has brought this in. When you take oaths that are not true, you're appeasing and falling victim to the schemes and plans of the devil. You say, well, Brother Harold, I don't go around swearing like that all the time. I'm not the one going around, I promise, I swear, God told me honest truth. I don't do any of that. But what he's demonstrating in this text is the seriousness of lying. You may not swear, but do you lie? Have you lied? Anybody out there shakes their head, no, I don't lie. You don't realize what you've lied about. You're a liar. All you've done is altered the rules, just like the Pharisees did, to make it where your lie was justifiable. Your lie was okay. Hey, I didn't swear under God's name. Why do we have to say honest to God's truth, gospel truth, cross my heart and hope to die? Because we live among liars. But what are we called to be, Christian? Salt, light. That's who we are. We slow rot. We expose darkness. That's who we are. How are we salt and light when we lie? How are we salt and light when Christians are liars? You can lie with your lips and you can lie with your life. Either one, both the same. But when we as Christians lie with our tongue or swear on things that aren't true or bear false witness, when we do that, we not only ruin our testimony, but we ruin the testimony of our God because His name has no weight. When you can swear by something and lie by it, what you're testifying is I have no evidence, no confidence, that God will hold me responsible for doing that. Here's the wake-up call. God may not hold you immediately responsible for lying. Immediately responsible. You can tell white lies your whole life. God may never strike you blind. He may never strike you deaf. He may never cut your tongue out. But there's going to come a day. Oh, I'm a Christian. None of that applies to me. No, there's going to come a day. Whenever a man's work's going to be tried by fire, there's going to come a day when we give an account of our life. There's going to come a day when we stand before God. And you're going to give an account for lying if you're a lying Christian. If you've lied under oath or if you've lied privately, you're going to give an account. No, I'm forgiven. Jesus Christ died for my sins. He did. You're still going to give an account for everything that you've done. Now, preacher, I don't believe that. Well, one of these days you will. It's my prayer that you believe it now. Because I have a solution for the liar. I have a solution for the perjurer. I have a solution for the one that goes around promising things in God's name and not delivering. The solution is this. Repent. Repent. I ask you, have any of you lied? Every one of you. Have you repented about it? Just a white lie. God knows. I'm going to tell you something. Jesus Christ never told a white lie. White lie is no less a lie than any other lie. Jesus is trying to get across to us the seriousness of honest speech. We're His people. If we lie like everybody else in the world, how does the world know anything's different with us? He's a good old boy. Sometimes you can't believe him. Sometimes he tells you stuff not exactly. But overall, a good guy. That's not a description of a Christian. That's a description of a good old boy. maybe a little windy, you know, makes you get out there, but overall a good guy. That's not describing someone who's been redeemed by amazing grace. It's my prayer that you would, in light of this text, realize that any line is wrong. Step number one is to recognize it's wrong and repent of it. What does repentance look like? It starts with forgiveness and ends with a prayer that you don't do it anymore. Don't say you're sorry and go out and keep doing it. You'll have a hard time convincing anybody that you're truly sorry. But you recognize, I've lied. I've lied to my wife, I've lied to my children, I've lied to my boss. Well, that got close to home, didn't it? I've lied to my boss, I've lied to my employees, I've lied to my next door neighbor, I've lied to my church, I've lied to my preacher. I'm just talking about the lies I've committed. You look guilty yourself. Have you? Admit it. Lord, I shouldn't have told these lies. Even though I thought they were all right, I shouldn't have done it. Now here's where I really need help, Lord. I know that you're able to forgive. I know Christ freely forgives all who go before Him seeking forgiveness. I need the strength of the Spirit not to lie again. That's repentance. Not just sorry I did it, but don't ever want to do it again. When you go to the Lord and get forgiveness, and you seek repentance, you don't give an account for that stuff on that day. But if you turn a blind eye to your sin, and God sent you a preacher to expose it, spent 45 minutes talking about it, trying to help you see it, and you think, no, I don't need to repent. No, I'm fine. He ain't going to be worried about this. There's going to be all them big sinners up there. He's not going to deal with my problems. He has all of eternity, and He can do everything at one time. It's serious. If it wasn't serious, Christ wouldn't have spent these 5 verses of His sermon dealing with it. So I'm encouraging you. Recognize that you want to lie. You have a desire to lie. You've grown up lying. You've been taught to lie. You've been encouraged to lie. And if you don't get a hold of your lies, you're going to answer for it on that day if you don't answer sooner. I don't want you to answer sooner. I don't want you to get in trouble. I don't want God to physically get a hold of you and shake you up. I want you to respond to this. A preacher. Opening the Bible, telling me what it says, explaining the severity of it, and me going, you know what? I think old Harold's right here. I think I got a problem. I think I need to go to God and get forgiveness for it. And go to God and get strength from the Spirit to get a handle on the lies that I've been telling. Because I don't want to stand before God on that day and give an account for the lies that I refuse to admit I tell. Since I know how serious lies are, I'm not going to swear anytime it ain't necessary. If I become president, I'll be sworn into office. If I have to testify on trial in a courthouse, I'll put my hand on the Bible and take an oath to tell the truth. I'm going to tell you what. I'll tell the truth. That's the way we take oaths as Christians. We take them, they're because they're important events. Require our commitment, and when we take them, we fulfill them to the best of our ability. And when the truth needs to be told, we tell it because we've joined God's name to what we're saying. If you do that and you tell the truth, it's the God's honest truth. Nothing to fear. I would not take that oath very often, only in times of extreme importance. Let me give you some advice. We're going to stand in a second. We're going to sing a hymn. And then the time it takes us to sing one verse, you can be judgment day honest with God, confess yourself a liar, ask for strength not to lie anymore, and by the time we're done singing, God can forgive you, empower you, and you can eat fried chicken with the rest of us with joy in your heart, knowing you are in right standing with God. Or you can leave. You can carry your sin burden around with you. You can hang on to it until God gets your attention or you stand before Him on that day. I pray, while we sing, you get right with the Lord.